This morning I'm turning to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. And I read to you verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And this morning, subject of meditation is the creation of the human race, the creation of man. And I pray, if I say, I'm going to pray, 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 I'm going. And the verse no trace Yakupon a bonifa the son no anisasu or Boba and a Bema. Before we look at some of the verses, I'm sure we are all aware of the most popular ideas about human race in our time. I think the most popular one is always by this unbelieving scientists. They say that human is an advanced animal. Human has just progressed from creatures like animals, and as such humans have no higher purpose in this world than to live and die. When we die, that is all. And as we live, the right, the wrongs and the good, the right and wrongs we do doesn't matter, only that we have to be careful and live right so that society will have peace now, to live. The air can say me assure saying in some way now we are seeing your funny power. And I'm saying, I say, nipa ndu bre nipa, I say, a body mu ife phobia, omo no mu nji nyaku kundi, omo di ene say, nipa ye, I say, mbwa, yetu mi, ifi mbwa, eti biya mwa, yasi yaku ini mga kasi mbwa. And si nipa, ewo, ewi asi mu, ye nibu taibia, sa, ehuni asa, kese mbwa, ewo wi asi mu. Ye di ane, ebe di di, yatina si, ewu anasa. Si ya papa wo, si ya papa wo. And said that we answer. Then Papa, if we say, Emma, Miss Metina, you have to meet us also. And also, people who live by this vain philosophy have no serious regard to morality and religion. Or more, I was arguing with you know, about Pelper here, and I said, Yamis, Sumwa, Omufa, Omufunzad, Ayad, at the Papi, Omukasatia. Because they think that people should live freely according to their own opinions and desires. The homogeneous are saying, if I to me trust it or no, and then I drink the shoes, a man or so, you know. If I am free, not only who said it. And one time, some of them call themselves free thinkers, and I'm sure in the time, some time ago in history, they were called libertines. Some of them were almost free. Say you're saying you're not your first lawyer now, professor, or shame lawyer. Now maybe if you miss a from who say only liberty, so my answer, Obia, Professor Chancellor, Emma, or one who answered, Yamisema, and I say, order and final. And their purpose in life is, as Apostle Paul quoted it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, said that they said, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And that, expression was an old expression by the Greek philosopher like Epicurus and his group. That's how they believed that men should live, eat and drink, and tomorrow after we die, after when we die, life has ended. And here comes omukutai wa brabum rechese ya kosofo no kasatia omu amuse usore ni for no First Corinthians chapter 15 no say usore ni for then the yen. So in our time also, if life has no purpose, if man is just an advanced animal, then we should just eat and live. Tomorrow we die, and that's all. Like a chicken for Christmas, we eat it, and that is all. That is how they try to tell us. So these people live in God's world without God. And they live for themselves. Indeed, this idea is what is shaping popular culture today. And they share a soup enemies to my new man, if a friend said, and you be a banua. So I say, what I said, I can was anima, and that you are saying, and your mania. These ideas influence content on television, movies, music, video games, sports, social media, fashion. And many people drink in these ideas without even knowing it. The Christians sometimes are ignorant of this. And it is scattered all abroad. I mean, all spheres of life. The movie that comes out, it is there. The television programs, they are there. Because everything they do seems to turn upside down, whatever the Bible will say. Look at, like, movies, for instance. How do marriage and portray the movies, most movies? How do relationships portray most movies? And when it comes to religion, when they try to portray religion, how do they portray it? And yet that is what is shaping. And like video games and others, the characters they create and the actions and the words they say and all that is to champion this popular culture. That God is not there. Man is free to live as he wants. Sports is the same. Now sports, I mean, whether it's taking everything. On Sundays they will play sports and become big entertainment, big business. Who cares? Because we don't care of what the Lord has said about his day. And many, many other things. Fashion, also, dressing styles and whatever. People, even Christians, I mean, some good Christians even have been deceived by this. They think that it's a new fashion and I have to live. And for myself, is it modest? Will it please God? No. And this is what is happening. So that people don't care if it's against the will of God or not. And yet, people think that they have to live freely. Also, the championing of gay movement and all forms of unnatural relationships is being championed by this popular idea that man is just like an animal, so we can choose to do whatever we want. All those who champion this, that's their thoughts. They think, even if they talk of God, they still have the idea man is just like an animal. Or it tells people to live as they please with less regard to the Creator. Sir, dear Ninia, I passion said, Nipanchanase, said your pet. I'm begging a boy, Yakupongra, dear Kakrebi, just to please people or something like that. But the account of creation in the Bible displays great, remarkable details about the human race. See, so, see, I heard your walking here, and I heard your Bible. A kafa, Nipa, Mason, and Boy, and Juan. And you must come to me at church, Miss Manipay, and see, and Castle was as you any prepare. Because there are many things about humans that even these scientists that claim that we are advanced animals are not able to explain. There are so many things about humans they are not able to explain. And they will just say things to just cover up. And the things that this Christian account tell us about man, it answers many things that that humans were created for the purpose, for a particular purpose on earth. And whoever tries to disbelieve the creation accounts have no other answers. Where did life come from? They can never answer us. They will talk of many, I mean, going back to me to tell us life came from, I mean, inanimate, I mean, things of which doesn't hold up. And when anyone disbelieves this account, he will never have answers why we are here. And who we are, they will never have. And what will happen? Whenever people despise God's truth, as always, it leads to senseless conjectures, senseless theories that, I mean, everybody says whatever he wants. And that will also increase the darkness of the human mind. The mind that God created so that it, when he knows him, then we become, I mean, our human dignity is so clearer. It darkens that part. So in all, the creation account shows why man's dignity and honor is above all irrational and inanimate creatures. The creation account tells us that the scientists, they know that man is superior and man is in honor and dignity than the animals they compare us with. And yet they wouldn't believe that God created us. But the creation account tells us why we are above animals, why we are above anything that can only move on this earth. It's the creation account that tells us. So, God who made us has shown us why we are above these things. So, I'll come to my text, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. The first thing we think of is that there was a special counsel on man's creation. That's what the Bible has revealed to us. There was a special counsel. If you read the creation account, in creating all other things, God just spoke and it was done. God just, even the sun, everything, he just spoke and it was done. But for man's creation, God has revealed that there was a consultation within the Godhead for his creation. The other kind here kind of said, Bible friends said, the other kind of I say, young boy, if I see a sample, to say, yeah, near paper. Indeed, young boy, never point that you are not so much as that. If you say, if I also go to the two ni personal, I mean, set the uncle or ban me a jar and no, and young boy, no, at your nose. Young boy, if I see a sample. So there was a consultation within the book, I mean, the Godhead for his creation. And the first one thing we also note from this that God also shows us in the creation of man the plurality in him. That is, when we say God, there's not one person in God. Because they let us. It tells us what God is more, I mean, God is not just, as we say, the Father. It's more than the Father. So, and I'm sure you know there are people who think that the doctrine of Trinity is unscriptural. How would they explain the words of God? Let us make man in our own image. Whom was God speaking to? The Bible has told us in Isaiah 40:14 that he said that with whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Who? Which creature? Counsel with God. Which creature was able to speak and advise? God didn't take advice from any human being or any created thing. It was God himself. By the letters. And God was speaking to the triune God, God as a whole. So when God said, let us make in our image after our likeness, he was not consulting with any creature. As we have read, God does not take counsel with any creature. He cannot do that. He's above every creature. And also, the nature of how who God is, no creature has exact resemblance as God. So the air can say, "Yangu poka say, yangu ni pasi esaswo no." Na okala chwa noa na ho. Eno no day di say, "Yekan yangu pono o babu, yangu pono a." E yangu o babu pensu ni pa, yangu ni pa babu ne wo. E su ni pa mi ensa babu na day di atro e o other places no. Is yangu poka say, "Yangu ni pa no." Na okala chwa sa ni pa e su ni pa ku mi ensa e wo ni mu a e fe neja abani hum konkron. Because only God can create. So if God said let us, that means he's talking to God, only he has immortality. These attributes are not to be shared with anyone. So the Bible, as I've said, have made it clear in another portion of scripture that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were involved in creation. Other portion of the Bible tells us that each one of these were part of creation. So when God expressed, let us make man in our image after our likeness, was spoken by God the Father to the Son and the Spirit. Because we have similar expression by God in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. When he said that, let us go and see what people they are doing. Let us go and see. He said, let us go and see. So, and mostly everything concerning the works of God, whether in creation, providence, or in redemption, the Father is always shown as taking the initiative, speaking, and when he speaks, because they are one, everything he does, they all agree and do together. They work together to accomplish for the same. Because their mind, they have one mind, their nature is the same, they do everything the same. So it's the Father that always takes the initiative. So, as the origin of man was the work of the triune God, Father, Son, and the Spirit. So our redemption too is the work of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The Father sent his Son. The Son came to die on the cross of Calvary. The Holy Spirit applied the work that Christ has done to our hearts. So that both of them have purchased our redemption. When the Bible tells in Acts chapter 2 that God purchased us with his blood, God as the Father didn't come and die on the cross. God the Son came to die on the cross. The Spirit now applies this work to us. So our redemption, to have a new nature, to be born again, when we repent of sin and God forgives our sin, for us to be renewed, it's the Spirit that renews us. But yet the Father that sent the Son to come, in that counts, eternal counts, the Father sent plan to bring to us redemption. It was the Son who took it to come and take our human nature. And it was the Spirit now who applies this work that Christ has done to us. So for us to be saved, it's the Spirit that has to work in our hearts and make us to believe what Christ has done. So you see, even having access to God through Jesus Christ, but by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that makes us have access to God. So everything God does with us, the Son and the Spirit, the Father, the Son and the Spirit, do the same. So you see, the creation of man, God has to show to us who he is. That there is more than one person in when we say God. It's not just us others think that only the Father who is God. No. But the Bible makes it clear. And John chapter 1, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in Colossians also, we are told that all things referring to Christ exist because of him. And yet, it is God as the who made all things. So you see, that is how the Bible... So in creation of man, see how the Bible places that light on man, so that we are different from all other creatures because God had a special plan for us. And as we go on, we see other things about why we are above animals and that we are not a race that came out of animals. We are more than that. But the second thing is that we look at the time and the manner of the creation of the human race. Man was the climax of God's creation. He was the last of all creatures. He ended God's work on the sixth day, as when we read from 24 to 31. That was the last day of God's creation. And man was the last person to be made. And in that portion, we are also given an insight into the origin of man and how man is. The human race was described in the plural in verse 26. Look at it. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. No, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So the Bible also at this point tells us that God made man and a woman. There were two. That God created one first and the other. Which, like makes it that there were, when we talk of human, the race of humans, there was male and female at the beginning. It makes it clear that the human gender is only two and not more than two. From the creation of, when God created us. Every artificial gender comes with confusion and problems. And typically it's against God's will for anyone to try to mix up this kind of differences. It's a sin to make man woman and woman a man. It's against God's will because he told us that he made them female and male. Male and female. Male and female. So that the manner of God, a man's creation, in the beginning, when God made human race, there was male and female, and not more than that. There was only two genders. So whatever the world will call the other genders, it's artificial. And I'm sure we know all the trouble that attends that kind of things. So the third thing we are thinking of is also the order of the creation of the human race. The order of the creation of the human race. Man was first thrown out of the dust, and then the woman out of him. In chapter 2, verse 21 to 23, we are told of that. It tells us, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Okay, so God, and before we are told of how God made Adam himself. From verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we see that the order of their creation, man came first, and from man, the female also came. So, That is why we always see the similarity of both men and women, but yet there's a distinction between males and females, and it's so clear. Naturally, everyone knows this difference. You bring up a child that has not been brainwashed by any atheistic ideas and bring a man and a woman, he will not hesitate to show you who is a man and who is a woman. But if a child is brainwashed, then he will now try to maybe not to answer you well. So, what naturally, we all know who a man is and who a woman is. So it is only this atheistic brainwashing that can deny the differences. People who try to say that we were created, man is in this world for no purpose, no higher purpose than for living and dying. That we say that we can at the point that we can change your gender order. God made man and woman, male and female. Any mixing up is a rebellion against God, the giver and preserver of life. He made us. So you see, when people make these two, make the genders up, then when they are promoting abortion, people don't care. When they are promoting, marriage becomes just a social affair. I mean, a legal affair. You can just have marriage and break it up the next day. It's a contract. It's no more a solemn thing that is ordered by God. It's just a human invention. You can just marry today and bring it after. It's a contract. Because man is here like, man doesn't have any rule or moral guide. Sexual morality also increases pornography and many things. With this idea that man is no better than animal, it promotes all these things. And you see this in movies, games, whatever, it is all over. Because those who produce these things, they are shaped by this brainwashing that man is no better than an animal. Okay, the next thing we look at, the fourth one, about the superiority of the human race over the other creatures. In verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing, every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So here it tells us, God initially, when he created man, gave him this authority, this superior authority over other creatures. So it was by God's command, but how do they supposed to tell us? Oh no, man is superior than animals through natural advancement, as they call evolution, whatever. Man has progressed, and that has made man superior than animals. That's what they tell us. But the creation account tells us, when God formed man out of the earth and breathed into the breath of life, the purpose for creating man is to make him dominate the world. We know history has told us how every generation, despite the shortcomings, man is able to tame the world. Is to use the world as if not an animal. Animals cannot do that. No, race on earth can do that. Humans have always done that because it was given to us by God. So even when we are sinners or not, this is given to us. Though because of the fall, it has come to a limited sense. And yet, man is the lord of the earth. He can go to the moon. He can go to any of the planets. He can move. Wherever man plans to go, he's able to go because God gave us the authority to dominate the earth and to use it for our own good. It was for us that he created all things, though for his glory, but to serve us. For instance, those who say that man is just an advanced animal, the command of God to dominate the earth, one thing God gave us, the ability to speak. And our human frame is made to support how we can speak. All the other animals, their throats, their tongue, their lips, and their brain do not support speech. Speech, before you speak, you form the words in your mind. Animals cannot do that. There's a system in our body system that helps speech. Animals don't have that. They've done so much research and they have checked different animals and some of the sounds they made and all that. And still, no record of animal. I mean, it's in the Bible that miraculously we are told that an animal spoke. It was a miracle. But naturally, animals don't speak. It is a special gift God gave to us for the purpose of dominating the world. This is one of the purposes. It's why only humans can speak, because our body system was made to support that. And our mind and our soul was made to support that. It isn't any advancement. Man has never advanced in his human. I mean, we did not advance to change our throat and our tongue and our lips to be able to speak. It's nonsense. So the animals and other creation that are in, I mean, non-intelligent, they were created for that purpose. God determined that they should be in that position. So it was God's intention for them to be naturally inferior to humans in all respects, in whatever form, I mean, whatever you look at them. It was God's purpose that animals should be below humans. That is it. There are many things to prove, many features in man to prove how we are even higher than, but this one is at least okay. So we look at the fourth thing. The fourth thing is the image of God in man. Now we come to one important part. Now we have looked at general, but this one thing in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. As we have looked, humans were made vastly superior above all animal creatures, irrational creatures like animals. Despite our frail bodies made of dust like other animals. Yes, animals were also made from the earth. What the Bible tells us in chapter 2, verse 19. It tells us that, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. So all the animals were also made from the earth. Like our bodies were made like them. So looking at our frailty, we were like them. And we also return to death. We return to the dust in verse 19, the same thing. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Our bodies were made from the earth. When we die, it goes back to the earth. So the image of God in man is not the body. God doesn't have a body. God doesn't have that physical feature we have. So the image of God in man is not a physical body which we represent, like we and the animals have. It's above that. Also, humans have souls which animate the body like other animals. Look at verse chapter 2, verse 7. It tells us the same thing. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The living soul, a living creature. Animals were by the command, when they come, they also become living creatures. Animals also have souls and they have life in them for them to live. But what's the difference? The difference is that God endowed the human soul with qualities far superior to that of irrational creatures like animals. The difference is that though we have physical life like the other creatures, which our souls produces, yet we have something in our soul that makes us far superior than them. Though we live like they also live, they have life, which we call soul, living creatures, yet ours is higher. It is by this special endowment that makes humans resemble God. It was this addition to our soul. If it were to be just a living creature, then we and the animals, there's no differences. But then, because of this additional endowment to our souls, that made us to resemble God. And we'll look at that, those endowments. So, there are some aspects of us that reflect God's image in us. I'll mention, let's say, about three of them this morning, which is very important for our subject. The first thing that the image of God in man is in the spirituality of the human soul. The human soul has a spirit. I mean, there's a spirituality in the human soul. It's not just souls are invisible, but human soul has spirituality, something heavenly bestowed in him. The soul of man was formed after the spiritual likeness of God. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. So, in Job 32, verse 8, we are told, but there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. There's a spirit in man. Animals have their soul, which we say spirit, but no. This is a rational spirit that God can give understanding. Animals cannot be given understanding. But there is a spirit in man that God gives understanding to. That's why our minds. Also in the Bible, the mind is compared to spirit. That is what it is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we are told, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man by the spirit of God. So you see the comparison here. God is a spirit. He has put his image in us. That's the spiritual part of us. That's why we're able to relate to him. So it is the spirituality of the human soul that makes us able to communicate with God. You see, animals instinctively have something they know. They have that instinct that I don't know how to say, but then there's an instinct in them to know that they were maybe created, but I don't know how to say that. But then humans, but God is able to communicate with us, make us to understand him, make us to know him. You see, the spirituality of us, to communicate with him. Another thing also is that the image of God in man is in the immortality of the soul. The immortality of the soul. You know that only God has immortality. When you talk of one who can never die, it's only God. Only God has immortality. The Bible tells us so. And he formed the human soul to resemble this. Only God has immortality. So only he can give immortality to any of his creatures. He formed human souls to represent it. In Ecclesiastes 12:7, we are told that then shall the dust return to earth as it was, referring to the death of man. When we come to die. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. You see, there's separation at death. Our bodies go, while we lose, immediately we lose this life, our bodies go to the ground, but the spirit goes back to God who gave it, to be given judgment on it, to be given sentence on it. Remember, Moses and Elijah came to speak to Jesus Christ at his transfiguration. Moses and Elijah have died hundreds of years before Christ. But they came to speak with Christ. Some people think that when we die, we cease to exist. Until the day of resurrection, that we will be brought to life. No. Moses and Elijah were living. They came, but they have died long ago. It's not their body. They didn't come to their physical body because they've died long ago. They came to speak with Jesus Christ when he was transfigured on the Mount. Matthew chapter 16 or 18. They came. They were dead a long time ago. And remember when the Bible says God is God. God is not God of the dead. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have died long ago. But because their souls are still alive, he says God is not God of the dead. When he mentions Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are alive not in this world, but in other worlds, because their souls have spirit. So that the Bible can say, God is not God of the dead, but God of the living. People try to deny that when we die, our spirit, when we die, our souls don't die. There are Christian groups that try to explain this. And there are some also who say that, you know, we don't exist at all. Our souls die to the body. At the resurrection, then we come back again. But our souls, the Bible, we can prove it in several scriptures, but we cannot do that this morning. Our souls live after the death of our body because it's immortal. The reason that our souls live after the death of our body is because it's immortal. So that when this life closes, the body goes, the soul continues to live. There is consciousness of the human soul after death. The soul has spirituality. At the day of the resurrection, it is the body that will be awakened, not the soul. If you know the Bible is about the day of resurrection, it talks about the body, not the soul. The soul is not sent to be resurrected at the day of resurrection, it's the body. So where is the soul? Our souls immediately after death enters into a state of consciousness, conscious suffering or happiness. The parable of Lazarus and the rich fool tells us of this. The Bible says, immediately the rich fool died, immediately he lifted up his eyes, he was in torment. And Lazarus, we are told that he was ushered into a place, we said Abraham's bosom, a place of happiness. So we see that human souls are above that of animals because of this endowment which God has placed in us. There's also the image of God in man. The another image of God in man was his knowing ability, the ability to know, knowledge. Knowledge was one of the things that showed that God's image was in man. God endowed the human soul with understanding to know and act rightly. And also the conscience to know what was good and wrong. God put it there. Morality, God put it there. So we're able to learn about God and understand his word to us. God can speak to us. Remember, when God came to the Garden of Eden, he didn't speak to the animal, he spoke to Adam. It was Adam that he was having conversation with. The serpent which God, the devil which used the serpent to act, the devil is a spirit, can also respond. Not the serpent as animal, it couldn't have responded to God as it is. But we see God, when God came, it was even when he made everything, it was Adam that he had a covenant with, that do this and that and that, but don't do this. It was only man. Because he knew that he has put in man the ability to understand him and to communicate back to him. And the capacity of knowledge was a reflection of God's nature. The Bible tells us God is a God of knowledge. God himself is a God of knowledge, but he is all-knowing, aware of his limited. So, to know things, it's a gift. It's a special endowment in our soul, which people think that, oh, when somebody has, oh, I'm very intelligent because it was my mother's womb that gave me. It's just that nonsense. Our mother's womb doesn't give us intelligence. It's God who has placed it there for us to have so that we can live for the purpose for which he has made us. Another image of God in man was that in the uprightness he made him. Man was made upright. In Ecclesiastes 7:29, lo, this only have I found, that God has made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. God made man just, holy, and good initially. Man was good as a creature, but God is the only one who is perfectly good. But man had that perfect goodness of a creature, the perfect goodness that a creature can have. Morally, the human nature was perfect. He knows right and wrong. He can choose that which is right. No sinful thought, desires, and deeds was in them. Adam and Eve, before the fall, they didn't have any sinful inclination. Lies, hatred, envy, pride was not in their conduct. Adam and Eve, before the fall, possessed their mind free from corruption, bias, or error. Like today, people can indoctrinate, brainwash people with false ideas, and they can take it in. But Adam and Eve, they didn't have that. And people, somebody will say, oh, then why did Eve listen to the serpent and then begin to take in the lies and that she was deceived and also Adam? You know, the Bible makes something clear that without the grace of God, the most perfect creature will fall. That is why when God saves us, it is when we are able to really live a life of sincerity before God. And when Adam was created, it was in a period of testing to show. Remember, before Adam fell, the angels had already fallen. Satan and his group had fallen already. That's why Satan was able to come and deceive Adam. They had fallen already. Out of pride, they fell. So we have the idea that God proved that every creature without him, no matter how perfect he or she is, will fall to sin. But every creature, no matter how bad the person is, if he's been supported by the grace of God, he can never sin. He can never fall. So Adam was acting in a probation, a time to test that if human creature can stand on its feet. And they fell. It wasn't that there was any bad inclination in there, but because human nature, no matter how perfect it is, only God has perfect holiness and righteousness. Only God can never be tainted with anything that is sinful. But human nature, though perfect as it was, yes, it was how God made it. It could do right, it could also take that which was wrong. And Adam had that free will. Adam had perfect free will in the Garden of Eden. God made him. That's why he could tell him that you should not do this, but I told him that the day that you do this, that Adam knew it. And he had a free will to be able to sustain himself. But as I said, no creature without the grace of God is able to stand against any evil. So Adam failed. The human race failed. Adam was representing the human race. He failed in his test when he acted in the strength of man without grace. He acted in the strength of representing us. He failed. And now, although we are still moral beings, though he fell, he was still a moral being, as we are today, yet sin has corrupted our minds. Because though we have all these features in us, it has been corrupted. We have knowledge, we have the mind, we can seek after God. We have morality in us, our souls are still immortal, with the spirituality in us. God can renew our minds to be able to respond to him. And yet, because of sin, we cannot relate to God as we ought to. Our minds have been corrupted. We have inherited the sinful nature of the first parents of the human race. Adam and Eve have given birth to us, and we have been corrupted by how they became after they sinned. So now our reasoning, will, and desires are now darkened by sin. We cannot even, if you ask any Christian who has been converted, evil thoughts coming here and there, and always there's temptation and everything. Sin is our sin around us. Our reason, our will, and desires are always darkened by sin. And this is the cause of our moral inability. That is why we can never attain perfection in the state of sinfulness. That's why we can never please God in the state where we are still sinners. Because we lack the strength to be able to do right. To do right that God will accept. Every immorality in our world is because of our sinful nature. And you know this, unbelieving scientists, they will say, oh, sin is they wouldn't even say sin. It's false. Just biological defects. They are not anything serious. So it can be corrected. But have they been able to correct it with medicines? No, they cannot. When somebody is a thief, unless they arrest the person, and put him in jail, he will continue to be a thief. Unless God changes the heart. If somebody is a liar, until God changes the heart, the person will see the sinfulness of sin, that lies can take him or her to hell, he will continue to lie and lie and lie. Unless you see that because of lies that Christ died on the cross, that he suffered for my lying, then men begin to think, oh yes, then I need to repent and I need God to forgive me. Other than that, that person will continue to lie and lie and lie and die in their lives. No medical, no whatever can correct that thing, that defect in the soul of the person. So you see, we are bereft of holiness in this state. We can never be holy in the state of sinfulness. No matter, that is why even believers, we don't have in us, we don't have perfect holiness. That's why our righteousness, our holiness is in Christ. God, if God should forgive us, he look on the Lord Jesus Christ, forgives us, and still look on him to make us his children. If God should look at us, even if we are believers, he will still despise us because we have nothing good in us. All the good we can do are tainted with sin. So God in this state will never accept our deeds. No matter how good we think we are, without perfect holiness and righteousness, no one can see. God tells us, without holiness, no one can see God. And you and I, we are not holy. We can testify of our own life for so many sins. So why do people claim to think that, oh, they can attain their own perfection before God? Some even think that they can add what Christ has done and what they have done. What you have? We have sin. All our good deeds, all the good things we can do are fraught with sin. We all know that. And yet, how can we approach God? This God who made us and bestowed these blessings to our soul. Look at how knowledge, our minds have helped us to shape the world. Look at the technology and everything, the intelligence and everything. God places there. And yet, people use these things and then they forget the God who put it there. They live in this world for themselves and enjoy life for themselves. They forget God who has bestowed blessings on our souls so that we are better than animals. And we know it. No human being will tell you that I'm not better than an animal. They know it. Animals themselves know that we are better than them somehow if they have that knowledge because we can control them. Not any animal in the world can be tamed by man. You see? This is what God made us. So, thinking of what our state has become by the fall, we need our minds renewed, as the Bible tells us. The renewal of our mind. As I said, somehow the Bible used the word mind for the spirit. It's this renewal of the mind. When the mind, the thinking, the thought, is renewed according to the will of God, then we can reflect God's image in us. The mind, that is why the Bible always tells us, be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. That is what we all need. That is all that every sinner needs. So, the Bible tells us, God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him. And the image of God and the likeness of God lies in the soul. And these pictures I have explained. And finally, this shows the honor and dignity God placed in man. Yes, God lifted us. It was God who lifted us above animal creatures and inanimate objects. It wasn't us. No, we have not advanced to be better than the animals. It was honor he placed on us. And as this honor is defaced by sin, God again in mercy sent his own son. Lord Jesus Christ to come and restore the human race to even a better position, whereby we can have a life that can never perish. Adam was like a servant. He was not a son. We through Jesus Christ, if we come to Lord Jesus Christ and repent, and our sins are forgiven us, when God justified us, he makes us become these children in Romans, we are told they become co-heirs with Christ. What in the world to come, all the glories of Christ will be shared by those who have, whom He has changed their minds and hearts to correspond to that of God. Those who have come to repent and call on Him and to look up to Him on Calvary, looking up to Him that He died for their sins. When He renews them, they are those who are going to share the blessings to come. The adoption of sons, adoption of children is through Christ. Adam was, in a measure, a servant. He was not; he didn't have that privilege of adoption. We, when we repent and come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God, the Bible tells us that we are adopted into the family of God, and we are given a promise of eternal life. So that when this life passes over, we will live happily forever. And that is the condition we are. Though we are falling with Adam, there's a better, as the Bible tells us, Christ is the second Adam. Adam, the first Adam, our favorite parent, let us fall. The second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, is coming, has come to raise us up above even the stage where Adam was in it. And yet, how are we looking at it? People despise it. People love their life of sin. People have knowledge of Christ, but they don't care what He does for us. But my question to you is that, are you also like that? Have you realized how the condition Christ is putting us better than what Adam did, and how it will raise us above our sinfulness? Once we have think of this way and go to God to ask Him to forgive our sins and to wash us again, we can never have this. We have to repent and come to Him for forgiveness. Because the Bible tells us that in the Lord Jesus Christ we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. It is Christ who is coming to right all the sins we have done, to cancel it for us. When the Bible tells us that curse, he took our curse, and that taking our curse, when we believe in Him, the curse of sin, the punishment of sin is taken away. God changes our heart and gives us a new nature and become part of God's children. And this is it. We have talked about the creation of man and how God has greatly bestowed great things in us. But we have also learned that this great thing has been defaced. So may we pray that we will recover this. And we can only recover this in the Lord Jesus Christ when we repent of sin and put our faith in Him. The Lord help us as we think on these things, so that each one of us may see Christ as our Redeemer, our Deliverer, and our Lord. Shall we pray?